podcast on leadership, culture, and creativity. My name is Vidal, and I just wanted to spend a few minutes with you, just sharing a little bit of this weekend. Actually, what I want to do, I want to share with you about what I got the privilege to speak about, to preach over today, Sunday. It's been a long weekend. It's been a very good weekend. Multiple reasons, but primarily because I got to speak the gospel, and anytime that I get to speak the Bible, it's definitely a good day. So anyways, I just wanted to just touch base with you for a few minutes, just sharing some of the things that the Lord definitely spoke throughout the scriptures to the church 2,000 years ago. And has been and is speaking to the church even today. And I've been, again, on this, specifically this weekend, got the opportunity to speak multiple times in multiple locations, but specifically it's just building the connection, the network with pastors and churches, and I love the privilege that I get to serve through Texas Baptist and to get to, again, just serve and build relationships. But everything that we do, and we were able to build a bunch of relationships, to network with a bunch of people, but what makes it more attractive is the commonality that we have, not in the language, not on the skin color or the background or the context, but the scriptures. Because at the end of the day, that's what ultimately is authority. At the end of the day, ultimately, our unity must be the unity of submission to the Bible. You know, other than that, I mean, we can always agree in, you know, in multiple topics and issues and experiences, and I'm not against agreeing, but our agreement must be influenced or led, or I guess the word is, just kind of overtaken by the unity of the triune God, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And through that unity is that we are able to actually come into agreement with Him, because ultimately it's about God. Well, apparently 2,000 years ago, there were some churches that they were having a lot of disagreements, not just between them, although there was a lot of divisiveness and a lot of prejudice and a lot of differences among themselves, but maybe the most difficult thing that you're going to see in the Bible is that their disagreement was basically with God. And any time that you and I disagree with God, well, we're wrong. That's the bottom line. We're wrong. And these churches, tragically, because this is also kind of the end result of when someone like you and I and us as a generation, when we're wrong, we literally need somebody to come and help us and speak into our lives. And I'm saying this because the issues that the Paul is going to bring into the conversation with this young apostolic representative, this young man by the name of Timothy, are issues that potentially not even Timothy is able to recognize or see unless the supernatural ability of the author of the Bible, which is the Holy Spirit, intervenes and reveals. This is where inspiration comes into the place. This is where authority comes into the place. But specifically, this is where the mentorship or the leadership, in this case of Paul, as an apostle, is speaking to the churches in this province, in this area of Ephesus, and then speaking through, again, through someone like Timothy and other pastors and other leaders. But anyway, so again, this conversation of unity, which again, this weekend, I've been able to experience it by, you know, being with brothers and pastors and families from multiple places in the East Texas area. And it's been a phenomenal experience. I got to see people that I grew up with. I got to see people that I dearly loved. And I got to meet a lot of people. And again, I'm all for those things. I'm not against. I think it's needed. I think that helps us to build and to understand that if we are to walk in Christ's likeness, we are walk into Christ's likeness. I think of two components. One is the supernatural experience, the fullness of the Spirit, assuming that you are sealed with the Spirit, meaning that you are saved. Now you get to belong to a family. So this supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit is not just what saves us, but also allows us to do life as saved people. Well, the supernatural experience of the Holy Spirit now comes in the context of community. So again, all of that happened, took place, and I'm all forever grateful. That's wonderful. yet. That needs to be led. That needs to have the character, the mind, the thinking of Jesus as the wind. In other words, it's not enough just to spend time together. It's not enough just to gather together. We gather together in the name of a specific person. We agree, not just because it's right. We agree because of his righteousness, because he is right. So anyways, all of that is imputed, given to us. And again, 2,000 years ago, that was an issue. They were struggling with those things. And Paul, speaking to Timothy, this is from this morning, speaking to some of the churches here in the area, he brings this admonition. He brings this imperatives, this mandate to this young brother, and basically says, this is chapter 3, verse 14, you, speaking to Timothy, as he speaks to the churches, so this you is singular, yet also has a plural implication in a sense that this is something that applies to us today, but we still need to begin with what's taking place in this time in history. He basically says, you, however, you need to continue the things, in the things that you have, and then he's going to list some things that he needs to continue upon. So this concept of continuity, of perseverance, this concept of this mandate implies, just as we look into why is he saying what he's saying, it implies that some people have or are quitting. They have quit already and they are quitting. I'm going to say this again. The issue with quitting, the issue with negotiating, the issue with compromising, the issue with giving up, typically is a process. Eventually is going to be manifested into a specific experience or a specific decision. But the quitting is a process that gradually we get used to it. And in this case, some of these churches, the quitting more than likely was doctrinal. They were negotiating the truths, the theology, the doctrine, the beliefs. And in this case, not just their beliefs, but specifically the beliefs of Jesus, because this is what doctrine is about. Doctrine is not about what you and I believe. See, this is the end result. Doctrine is about what Jesus believed. And whatever Jesus believed, that's exactly what we must believe. So in this case, this church's Timothy is literally moving against those things. And Paul says, you need to continue. You need to continue. And your continuation, your endurance, your perseverance has to do with the things that you have learned. So apparently, for whatever reason, it seems to me that resilience, perseverance, and I want you to translate that into every aspect. As you go to work tomorrow, Monday, as you are thinking about the next project, maybe getting married, maybe going into retirement, whatever you find yourself, this issue of continuity is interconnected with teachability, because he says the things that you have learned. So apparently Timothy, as much as he has been appointed, as he is a representative of this apostolic leadership, this apostolic, again, commissioning, as much as that, those things are, and Timothy is someone that God has appointed, what we need to recognize is that this ministry, this calling, is based on his character, which is teachability. So I want you to just dream and imagine with me. If our leadership today, if you as a leader, as a father, as a mother, as a grandparent, as a 27-year-old, whoever you are, can you imagine if you and I, we were known by our teachability versus our accomplishments, our recognition, our resume, our giftedness, our abilities, or our calling, whatever that may be. And I'm not against those things, but I'm gonna say that again. This thing is about how the things that he has learned. And he learned those things, says, but when you became convinced. So again, he's describing character in a sense of the teachability, being convinced. Obviously, he's got the conviction. This is teachability for the purpose of, in this case, having the object or the reason why he's teachable. So he's been convinced, and he's been convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them. So again, just picture with me what's happening. It's a dialogue between Paul as an apostle, inspired by the author of the Bible, which is the Holy Spirit, speaking into the life of this young brother that has to navigate, again, a bunch of people that they are not necessarily asking for the help or the leadership, but he's been commissioned to do that. So when it comes to preaching, ministry, when it comes to life, parenting, marriage, a lot of the things that we do, we are providing answers to questions that nobody's asking. How do you do that? Well, again, it begins by the understanding that this concept of perseverance, continuity, is simply apparently the antidote of the problem that is taking place in this case in these churches. So this morning we make reference to some of the issues that were going on in there, which, by the way, the issues are no secret. The issues are given in the Bible. So if you go to verse 13, I just read from verse 14, go to verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. He is going to give you some of this. Paul is going to enlist and give you some of the issues. Here are the issues. This is not easy to read. Verse 13, but evil people and imposters, evil people, imposters, counterfeit. That's one of the main distinctiveness of evil, of Satan, is counterfeit. Imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. I guess the most tragic thing for me when I read these verses is that tragically, Paul is describing people within the life of the church. People that you and I, people that potentially were trustworthy, people that we relied upon, that we built our lives with. Potentially, this is people that they look like, they always seem like, but eventually, Paul is describing this conversation in the context of something that is unavoidable. The context, and I said this earlier, the context of community relationships, but again, our relationships, they have to have an object. There's gonna be a reason why we relate. This is not just relationships because we are compatible. This is not just relationships because we agree doctrinally. This is not relationship because we marry each other and now we have to relate. No, this is relationships that the standard, the model, the reason is a person. His name is Jesus. And once Jesus becomes the standard, the reason, then Jesus, not the circumstances, Jesus, not our compatibility, Jesus, not our agreements, determines what's acceptable or unacceptable. So for Paul to come and say there will be evil people that will literally be counterfeits within the community of Jesus, the issue is not the counterfeits. I'm going to say this very, very carefully. So hopefully we can engage into at least somehow get into this specific agreement with Paul. The issue is not the counterfeit. The issue is not the evil, although it's an issue. So I'm not minimizing evil. The issue is not the problems, the dysfunctionality, the challenges that you and I may face. The issue is if you and I don't have leadership, like verse 14, where Paul says, you, however. See, this however on verse 14 that we just read is extremely crucial because Paul is not telling Timothy that these evil people are just simply going to disappear. The tragedies and difficulties are just simply going to vanish. Now, that will happen eventually when Jesus returns. So this is why the prosperity gospel is so toxic, because prosperity gospel is promising something that is going to come until Jesus returns. In other words, this whole vanishing of evil, this whole, dysfunctionality, brokenness, differences, arguments, and divisiveness will only disappear completely until we face Jesus in his second return. In the meantime, what do? In the meantime, we do verse 14. You, however, you're going to get a however, although you got verse 13, although you got counterfeit, although you've been betrayed, potentially some of us, we fell into that and we were the ones who created the problem. We were, instead of being the recipients, we were the creators of this. Paul is saying, however, Timothy, this is what I want you to do. I want you to continue. Do not depend. Your continuity, your commitment does not depend whether this is looking like it's working out, whether this is looking like this is going to take you into something better. He's simply saying, you continue in the things you have learned. You continue in the things that you were convinced of. You continue in the things fully knowing whom you have learned them. This is extremely important because this calling into the perseverance, into the continuing, into the don't throw in the towel. Quitting is not an option. That mindset, in a sense of the leadership of the church, because again, anybody that walks into ministry, that walks into leadership of the church, into a relationship with the local church, anybody that does that, considering the option of quitting, giving up, throwing in the towel, it's not going to make it. Because verse 13, when it comes to evil people, imposters, counterfeits, they are unavoidable. They're part of the Genesis 3 world that we lived in. It's part of the making. It's the DNA, because it's made of people like you and I, which we are the sons of the first Adam. Because we, you know, this is where we're coming from. In other words, listen, this is what I'm saying. When it comes to this false teaching that Paul is describing, identifying, and calling Timothy to deal with, Paul is going to tell us multiple times, I was one of them. I was the biggest of false teachers. And here's the point, because the gospel is not an improvement of our condition. The gospel is a transformation of our essence. Not just what we do, but who we are. So in this case, either you are an imposter, meaning you are a counterfeit. I am simply following my father, Satan, being the son of the first Adam. Or I've been regenerated, reborn, transformed, made new through the person of Jesus. And now I belong to the truth. Now I belong to a new master. Now I belong to Jesus Christ. Those are the only options. So in this case, Timothy has to deal with this thing. Now, let me just finish with this. This is hard to read because, man, again, I got to spend the weekend with a bunch of specifically guys, which, you know, again, just being with men is such an uplifting experience. Young and old, my age, not too young, not too old. I mean, all kinds of men. But here's the thing, though. This is hard to read because this concept of persevering, of continuing, not giving up, as much as Timothy is called to do, this is an imperative, this is a mandate. Timothy, Paul saying, don't you dare quit. Don't you do not give up. This is Timothy. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. As much as Timothy is called to obey, I'd love for you to take this with you. Perseverance is not something that we simply do, it's something that happens to us. I'm gonna say that again. Perseverance is not only or simply something that we're called to do, although we are. So we're called to persevere, but it's the result of something that happens to us. And I'm saying this because I want you to read verse 10. Again, I took you to 14, 13, that's where the evil, the imposters, and all the counterfeit experience. But in verse 10, I'm just going back into the conversation. I want you to see how the perseverance, the continuation, the not giving up of Timothy, listen to me, was not the result that things changed for the best. And I'm saying this because some of us, we potentially are going through a very difficult time right now. Some of us, we might be facing or beginning into a new week where things are questionable, iffy. Some of us are coming from a season that we get the scars. We still kind of a, you know, mourning over the loss. So I'm not gonna minimize circumstances, situations. I don't fully understand how this, you know, complexity of life and emotions and thoughts fully. Please listen to me. I'm a fellow struggler when it comes to the issue of thinking about quitting, striving to continue, and perseverance. But the good news of the gospel is not that Timothy persevered to the end. The good news of the gospel, the reason why the Bible is true, is not because Paul, which is the apostle is speaking, finished the race well. The good news of the gospel, and I'm going to go to verse 10, is what happened to these brothers. And again, I don't want to sound pessimistic over this thing, because that's the last thing that I want to do, discourage people, discourage you, anybody else. But this podcast is about the centrality of the person of Jesus. And again, nothing taken away from Timothy or Paul, but listen, I want you to hear this very clearly. These brothers, historically, we know that Paul is going to get decapitated. His head is going to be detached from his body. So, you know, kill. Timothy, historically, not from the Bible, but historically, is known that these imposters, these counterfeit people that were inside the church, they stone him to death eventually. What am I saying? All that I'm saying is that the freedom that you have in Jesus of building, creating a DNA in the life of your family, your company, your church, your life as a whole, it's not simply the resilience that we're called to have and experience and learn from others. Nothing wrong with that. This weekend, again, spending time with churches, pastors, men from all over the place, it was wonderful. And we love and we need to continue doing this. I mean, here we are trying to gather together physically in the middle of the last 15 months that they have been insane and crazy. Now, I understand that. But listen to the words of Paul on how Timothy was able to continue, not simply because what he did or how things changed, but listen to what happened to him. Something happened to Timothy that on a Sunday night, I'm asking the Lord that it will also happen to us. This is what the Bible says. Listen to verse 10. Verse 10. And again, this is amazing. Now you followed, and the followed has an ED at the end. So grammatically, this is past tense. You followed my, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, you follow my teaching. You follow my conduct. You follow my purpose. You follow my faith. Verse 10, I'm on verse 10. You follow my patience. You follow, Timothy, you follow my love. You, Timothy, this is the end of verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, you follow my perseverance. Are you following the conversation? As much as Timothy is called to persevere, as much as we are called to continue and to strive and to fight and never give up, listen where this desire, where this eagerness comes from. It comes from the teachability, the mentorship, and the word that we typically use is the imputation. Timothy was willing, before facing verse 13, before facing the imposters, the counterfeit, before facing the never, ever, ever imagined in my life, the background, the prelude that took place prior to that, it's a brother that was under the teaching, the conduct, and the purpose, the faith, the patience, the love, and the perseverance of somebody else. So here's my question to you and I, because here's what I know about life, and I know very little about life. I'm no expert on this life thing. I'm no expert on this ministry thing, but this is the little things that I know. This is what I'm more than convinced. When verse 13 happens, and those that you trusted give up, either on God, the church, maybe gave up on you, and someone walk away from your life, whatever you may find, maybe you might be the one who gave up, whatever you find yourself, listen, when those things happen, not if, but when they happen, verse 13, the evil, the imposters, and things like that, what is going to come to the surface is not going to come, it's not going to be exclusively just what you know, but who we are, not just knowledge, but essence, character. And this is extremely important because for what we understand in with Timothy being under the leadership, the teachability, the mentorship, the discipleship of someone else, apparently this whole concept of perseverance, persistence, and don't never give up is really, really the expression of the teaching, the conduct, the purpose, the faith, the patience, the love, the perseverance. Verse 11, the persecutions and the sufferings of someone else. So I guess what I'm inviting you, what I'm asking you to think, just as you launch into a brand new week, if this perseverance has happened to you, are you able, do you have the desire to endure, to persevere, because someone else persevered and through the person of Jesus is being imputed to you? So just translate everything I just said this manner. When it comes to faith, when it comes to belief, which are synonyms, when it comes to endurance, when you comes to continuation, when you comes to dealing with opposition, with brokenness, with health issues, would it be possible that the way that we deal with those things are through the mind, through the faith, through the endurance, through the perseverance of somebody else that was imputed and given to us? See, the most tragic thing that we see in our culture today, and this is what I believe COVID has done, the most tragic thing is that today, Sunday, a lot of sermons were preached, tragically, in many, many churches, were People were challenged, invited, called out to persevere, to trust, to continue. But very few people spoke about the believing, the trusting, the endurance, the faith of Jesus. Because ultimately, that's the only faith that God approves. God only approves the faith of Jesus, the perseverance of Jesus. God only approves Jesus Christ. That's the only person. How do I know this? Because that's the only person that has come out of the gravesite. See, the resurrection of Jesus is nothing else but Jesus' perseverance, obedience, resilience of 33 years living, building, doing life under the leadership of his heavenly Father, under the scriptures, that when the time came for him to take your place and my place that Friday, on Sunday, it wasn't optional. He had to come out of the graveside because of his perseverance. So I want you to translate that, because Jesus' perseverance manifested on the resurrection. Listen to this. Jesus' perseverance manifested on the resurrection when he came out of the graveside on that Sunday morning, the first day of the week, was given and imputed to you, to the church, to those who follow Jesus. So the freedom that we have as we launch into this brand new week is not the absence of verse 13. It's not the absence of conflict and again, and evil and imposters. That's not the promise. The promise is that just the same way that Paul is telling Timothy, this is going back into the list. You follow my teaching, you follow past tense, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my perseverance. On verse 11, he says, you follow my persecutions, you follow my sufferings. And then he reminds him of specific sufferings, the ones that happened to me in Antioch. This is verse 11. Those are the places that where he suffered. And he says, what persecutions I endured, and out of them, the Lord rescued me. He doesn't say that the Lord changed the circumstances, or the Lord, you know, became his shield against those circumstances. See, this is a brother. Paul is a brother that is speaking from the experience of a lot of evil being confronted, a lot of imposters, a lot of accusations, a lot of betrayals, a lot of beatings and incarcerations. So he's obviously not promising Timothy that if you follow my instructions, my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, if you follow this, you're going to avoid my experiences. No, Timothy, that will be prosperity gospel. What Paul is basically reminding Timothy, and again, this is just the beauty and the freedom of the gospel. Verse 12. I'd love for you to tweet it, to Facebook it, to post it. Verse 12. Somehow, take it home tonight. Somehow, text it to somebody. Verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, kind of a closing, this is what all means. All who want to live in a godly way in Christ Jesus. Please listen to me. All who want to live in a godly way. In other words, all of you guys who are willing to do, to endure, to follow, watch this, because it has happened to you. I don't know if that's been clear tonight. So this week, we gotta move, we gotta go, we gotta persevere, we gotta deal with opposition, we gotta deal with whatever craziness is going on, but that's gonna be the result, not of our eagerness, not just because we're right and they're wrong, not because I'm the dad or I'm the pastor. No, we're doing that because in the past, you and I, we were the imposters. In the past, you and I, we were the opposition. In the past, we were the enemies of God. But God gave us not what we deserved. He gave us what we needed. He gave us Jesus. But look at this. This same Jesus that changed you, changed me from an imposter, from an evildoer, and moved us into his family, into the community of believers, that implies that we stand in the righteousness, in the imputation, in the transferring of somebody else. So once again, anybody, all who want to live in godly way in Christ Jesus, here's the closing. If you're reading from the Bible, verse 12, will be persecuted. Will be persecuted. The reason why you and I will be persecuted, and again, I know you don't want to begin your week with this type of words or this type of message. But the reason why you and I will be persecuted, have been persecuted, the reason why your children, if they choose not only to receive, to experience this, again, this forensic experience, faithfulness of somebody else given to them, and as they move through life, your marriage, your finances, the reason why we will be persecuted, we are persecuted, have been persecuted, here's the reason, is because of God's eternal redemptive plan. Before the creation of the world, not only God established that he will bring salvation, but he also established how he will bring that salvation. So if you go back with me in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the messianic promise that the serpent will strike the heel of the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman eventually will crush the head of the serpent. So right now, you and I, we have met. What happened to us was the cornerstone. What happened to us before we are called to obey, what happened to us is a person, is Jesus. Jesus happened to me. It's not that I was seeking, but he happened to me. So he became the cornerstone. And that made us, made you, made me a living stone. The same God that chose Jesus before the foundations of the world to be the cornerstone and chose you, chose us to be living stones. If you read 1 Peter, he will tell you not only that the choosing, the electing of God over Jesus and us, cornerstone, living stones, wasn't simply for the edification of the building. So again, Timothy is being built. He's been built as a leader. The church has been built 2,000 years ago. Here we are because the church moved, believed, endured, and all those things. Because what happened today, watch this, please. That election was not simply, that experience wasn't simply for Jesus to be the cornerstone, but and then for us to be living stones. But the Bible says that also the same Jesus that was, again, chosen, appointed to be the cornerstone in the same breath, was also chosen to be rejected by the builders. What am I saying? All that I'm saying is that the Bible presents this truth in this dialectical component of the choosing Jesus as the cornerstone, but also being predestined, being elected for suffering. So when Paul says that if or when all who want to live in godly way in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ, those will be persecuted because your choosing, your ability to live in a godly manner is the result of the godly manner of Jesus given to you. See, nobody chooses by themselves to simply live in a godly manner. Our living in godly manner is the result of the godly manner of Jesus imputed to us. So now we exercise, literally, this is what it means. We exercise the godliness of Jesus. I don't know if that makes sense. See, we are exercising somebody else's lifestyle. It's not the improvement of mine. It's not because I came from, darkness into life. It's not just because I used to be this and now I'm that. And not because in the past, if you would have known me before. See, all of that, I don't disagree with those things. I think this is part of the conversation. But ultimately, your experience, your thinking, your change, that's not the gospel. What the gospel is the life of Jesus given to you, transform you. So if you, Paul says, Timothy, if you and the church choose to live in a godly manner, move and exercise what has been given, imputed to you, here's the result. It's not the dissipation. If you live in a godly manner, it's not that the marriage is going to improve or change or that suddenly things. No, all that he's saying, although you may be facing evil people, imposters, evildoers, whatever the case may be, listen, at the end, you get to join Jesus, not just as a living stone because you join the cornerstone, but you get to also enjoy and experience Jesus because you will be rejected by the builders. Because now your suffering will have a purpose. Because your suffering will build the character of Jesus. Because at the end, the win is simply understanding that what we get is the godliness of Jesus. At the end, we get God. at the end, we enjoy the fullness, the presence of God. If anybody knew this, it was Paul. If anybody is speaking to the church in Philippi, he will tell you, chapter 1, he will say, for me to live is Christ, and to die, what is it? For me to live is Christ, and to die is Christ in its fullness. Because the bottom line, whether I'm on this earth, whether I depart from this earth, it's all about what happened to me, what somebody else did in my life, and what happened to me, Paul says, which I hope it has happened to you, is Jesus. This is when you can come on a Sunday and simply say, what can separate us from the love of God? What can potentially happen in the future? Because what has happened to me is beyond my circumstances, is beyond my generation. I tried to give you the short version of what happened this morning, but I lied to you. I just had to go into some of these details that we were able to convey throughout the weekend. Actually, it wasn't just in one single message, but I've been preaching all weekend long, and I'm a little tired, but I just enjoy reminding each other of the fullness of this message, of the fullness, not just because it's true, but because it allows us to enjoy each other's company with the centrality of the character of Jesus. I do hope and pray that you have a wonderful, new week, new experiences. You might be going through, again, prayer requests, challenges. Some of you have a lot of gratitude. God has been more than wonderful to many of us, and for which we don't apologize, obviously. But whatever you find yourself, I just want to thank you for connecting. This podcast is typically broadcast through YouTube. So if you get a chance, go ahead and subscribe. it's just called The Journey Podcast. So if you go to YouTube, you'll see The Journey Podcast in there. Love to do this. I know we're going to try to share through other social media venues, and love to convey this message. So you liking it, you sharing it, is always appreciated. And I try to do this just because only God knows where I'm going to be the next weekend preaching or sharing the gospel. And I'm just privileged that this allows us to communicate and to contact with one another. So, guys, again, have a wonderful week. God bless you. I'm looking forward to see you hopefully in the middle of this week. Tomorrow, Monday night, we'll go into, is it week 3? Losing track of my, tomorrow night we're doing Genesis 1 through 11 with Dr. Bob. It's just been a phenomenal experience. I'm getting the the feedback, the conversations. It's a little overwhelming, and I speak personally because to translate that into Spanish is challenging. But Dr. Bob doing what he does, as many of you know, Dr. Bob Utley, when it comes to teaching the Bible, and and you can, again, you can just go into the website and Free Bible Commentary and get a hold of those videos and the messages. But we spent about 2 hours, seven to nine Monday nights, and love for you guys to also join the conversation. Tomorrow, I'm looking forward to tomorrow night because we're dealing with Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. Woo, mercy. That's going to be a lot of fun. And again, this is so central. This is so central to understand the rest of the Bible. How is it that men chose to rebel against the Lord? So anyway, so we'll look at that tomorrow night. So I'm looking forward to also, spend some time on that. And again, you guys connecting tonight is always highly appreciated, and love to hear from you, love to see how God is working in your week throughout this week, and hopefully the words of Paul to this young brother, to this churches, that they were in a lot of trouble and they needed a lot of help, and there were some beautiful things happening at the same time, speaking tonight, I hope, and that was encouraging to you. Have a wonderful night. Thank you, and God bless you.